My name's Sean Collier, back in the Podcast Lounge. We're rebranding it.
This is the Podcast Lounge at the AMC Lowe's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsor us.
In West Homestead, Pennsylvania, where we just saw, I know it's early 2016, we just saw our most anticipated movie of 2015, I think.
Yeah, one of them.
Star Wars exempted.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the top five I was really excited about this year.
We are going to tell you about The Revenant. We are going to go into the woods and have hatchets and a lot of raw meat.
And pelts.
And pelts. This is a pelt cast this week.
Welcome to Peltcast.
On You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies, part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, January the 8th, 2015.
Wow.
We are 2016.
2016, buddy.
We're speaking to you from the past.
We went back in time. About a month.
Over a month. This might be our most advanced recording.
It is, actually. I think you're right.
We're sitting here on December 1st. It's December 1st.
It is December 1st. I'm sorry.
And they wanted
us... Don't stop the podcast.
They wanted us to see The Revenant, which is only arriving nationwide January 8th. But we're here and we're doing it. So if anything... significant happened in the month of December 2015. We don't know about
that.
We're
not going to talk about it. We have not seen Star Wars yet.
If Star Wars turned out to be awful, we don't know that yet. How crazy would that be at this point?
What's that?
If Star Wars is just terrible.
I know, and we're not talking about it at all.
Yeah.
We will. We will.
Yes. We're going to, one way or
another.
Matter
of fact, wait, we did.
We did. It already happened.
I feel like we're writing, this is You Can't Handle the Truth 1985B.
Yes. We're speculating on how Star Wars will be when we've already done an episode on Star Wars.
Yeah.
The point is, if anything, you know, if a bear tore my throat out in mid-December,
yeah,
then this is the last new content you'll have from me, at least in a recorded format.
It's true. You may have read about it in the papers.
It might have happened.
And this will come out posthumously.
Well, I'm assuming that somehow I survived this bear attack, because now I feel like you can do that.
Well, yeah, we're going to...
Spoilers? No.
No.
That's set up.
It was
the
in the trailer. But you don't know a lot of what else is going on, and I didn't watch all the trailers for it.
No.
I watched the first teaser, and I was like, nope, I'm in, and I knew who I was directing. Say his name? Alejandro
Iñárritu.
Iñárritu. Okay,
yes.
I was right.
Probably.
He's directing it. The cinematographer is also from Birdman and Gravity.
Emmanuel Lubezki.
Dude is a bad dude. He is good.
Won the Oscar for Gravity, won the Oscar for Birdman, and could make it three in a row in the same category?
Uh-huh.
Think about that.
We're getting into it too quick.
And... we'll get back to this, but
yeah.
Gravity, green screens.
Best part of the movie was the cinematography.
Definitely. Birdman, interior.
Amazing.
Close-ups. Unbelievable.
Cinematography.
This, out in the majesty of nature. This isn't, you know, this isn't, you shot Lord of the Rings 4 through 6. It's not, those are not the same job three times.
There's definitely, man, let me tease you a little bit. There's a lot we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Acting.
Uh-huh.
Writing.
Uh-huh.
Cinematography.
Bears.
Music.
Pelts.
Pelts. Native Americans.
Yeah.
Really, really cool stuff.
Violence.
Violence. History is violent, friends.
Yes, it is. You got to get me on some of these history books.
Dude, I can't stop reading history books. I can't stop. Let's be clear here. Audiobooks. I'm not like an old pap sitting at my fire with my corncob pipe. I travel.
You're in the car a lot.
I'm in the car a lot, and I've been reading tons of audiobooks. Tons of history podcasts. I probably have about 9 right now listed. I have, to this point, I mean, okay, I know it's January 8th, but I will guess by saying this December 1st, I have probably listened to 25 hours of hardcore history.
I always see that one.
Well, here's the thing.
I've never dove in.
I ask a lot of people that, and I'm mentioning this because of history.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot of cool history in this movie. And the hardcore history podcasts are 3 to 4 hours long a piece.
Right. That was kind of a barrier to entry thing.
Yeah, it's really hard to get involved.
Yeah.
But as soon as I finished my last audiobook I just read, I just listened to, I was like, you know what? I'm driving back and forth to... where was I going? Charlotte, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm getting in. I'm going in.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot stop. And my other favorite podcast, Astonishing Legends.
Yeah, you were pushing that one on me. I haven't...
If you like history, weird things, you know, hardcore history is straight,
yeah,
you know, history. Then Astonishing Legends is weird history and mystery and, you know, suspense. Sometimes paranormal, and then there's Lore, which is all of that in a very...
It's a quick one.
Yeah, but it's very stylized. It's an author that does it, an author of fiction. So, yeah.
I've got to do a podcast purge. I have to do a podcast Hunger Games. I've got like 30 that I listen to, and the past couple of weeks, I'm kind of done.
You know what? You can edit your list and drag up your favorite ones. You can order them.
Yeah, I got to do something. It's like how many hundreds of hours of WTF am I going to listen to before I'm like, I'm done for a while.
I'm about done with comedy unless I have some of my friends on them.
Yeah.
And I'll see, you know, some people that I know on them and I'll listen to those guys because it's fun.
Right.
You know, to listen to people, you know, talk about stuff, funny things and make you laugh. But I'm all on history podcasts now and more like fact and, you know, it's just I feel like I'm in a college class. I now feel like that I'm using my time very wisely.
Yeah.
When I'm in the car for hours for stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of stand up,
speaking of history.
Yeah.
And this will be the transition. I didn't realize how much The Revenant is based on a true story.
Yeah.
I'm going to clarify that in my own mind while you tell people what you're up to in January.
Hey, right now, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, January 8th and 9th, there are 4 shows that you can see me with Todd Glass. You may know Todd Glass. He headlined the Pittsburgh Comedy Festival this past year.
Killed it.
He's been on Comedy Central, on Louie. I mean, he's been on everything. He really is one of my favorite stand-up comedians to watch. He is not a conventional stand-up comedian. He's almost a one-man show. There are 2 shows Friday the 8th tonight, 2 shows Saturday the 9th at Arcade Comedy Theater. They will sell out if they're not already sold out right now as we speak. So,
yeah, what a good venue for Todd Glass.
Todd loves Arcade, and he wants to perform there, and that's super exciting. Other than that, guys, January 16th, I'm at the Oaks Theater.
Uh-huh.
Where's that at?
Oakmont.
It's Oakmont, that's
Oakmont,
right.
Historic Oakmont, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Oaks Theater at 7:30 on January 16th, and immediately after that, 10 p.m., Arcade Comedy Theater, Comic Wars.
And never mind. Keep talking. Uh-huh.
And then January 30th,
yeah.
Sean and I will be doing a show together at the Rose Bar in White Oak. January 30th, Saturday, January 30th.
I've been there before. It's fun.
Great.
If you're anywhere near that part of the city, or even if you just want an excuse to go somewhere you haven't been before, a great little bar with, it's like a almost like a lodge performance.
Yeah, fun times.
Yeah, it's very.
And
very
I know
cool
you're
spot.
Thinking, Aaron, why are you home so much in January? Because my wife and I, we're getting a new kitchen, and I'm doing a lot of that.
doing some kitchen, doing some floors.
That's how you save some money. But I've done some things in my life. I'm a grown man.
I can't do a thing.
I'm a grown dad, and it's grown dad business. Speaking of that, my podcast, Grown Dad Business, check that out.
Uh-huh.
Part of the Epicast Network, who produces this one.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to my kids. I talk to comedians. I talk to funny people about growing up and children. Grown Dad Business Podcast. Sean, where are you going to be doing stand-up in January?
I'm going to be at the Rose Bar in White Oak, as you mentioned.
January 30th.
I'm going to be somewhere in the South Hills on January 16th. There you go.
Good for
you. That's a specific plug right there.
Well, we always list all of our stuff, you know, at Aaron Kleiber, at Sean Collier PGH.
Sean Collier PGH. And yeah. Go to facebook.com/SeanCollierPGH. I'll usually put dates there, and that's the home of my written reviews.
Yeah, the 400-word reviews, I share them all the time on Facebook, and people love them.
Yeah.
And people like
not
comment.
To talk myself up, but yeah, no, people seem to enjoy
it. That's your job, and you're good at it. I share your 400-word reviews, and people like them and comment them from around the country, people I'm friends with. So, and you know, a couple times people are like, who's that?
And it's 400 words because you got time. I know. You're avoiding your work. You're at your desk.
Yeah.
It's a quick here's what it's about and whether or not you should go and see it.
Sweet.
That's what we're doing.
Let's dig in. You want to dig in?
So, this is a true story.
Really?
It's based on the novel, and it is. It's based on a novel called The Revenant, A Novel of Revenge.
What's cool is,
from 2002,
I feel like...
Michael Punk with an E. P-U-N-K-E. Punke.
I might have to get the audiobook.
Uh-huh.
These are the kind of stories that that I like listening to do podcasts. Astonishing Legends
right.
does stuff like this,
uh-huh.
where it's like, you won't believe this is true.
Right.
And they dig into all these things, and mm-hmm. it's really neat.
And,
I can't believe this is... And what year was this?
Heavily embellished, obviously, but in 1832,
wow.
a guy was on a part of a fur... What do you say? Fur trapping?
Yeah, fur trapping expedition.
And
led by military.
There was military involvement in it. Of course, this is when, you know, there's the French are still in control of a lot of this area, and obviously it's Native American territory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the real guy, Hugh Glass. Yes, Hugh Glass.
That sounds like... a phone call Bart Simpson would
it's
make.
Really close to one. he was attacked by a grizzly bear, and two guys were left to stay with him, and they said, yeah, he's not going to make it, and took off.
Yeah.
And having very recently been nearly dead from grizzly bear wounds, this dude crawled 200 miles back to civilization, more or less just to track down the people who had screwed him over.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
And that's what The Revenant is about. And the first thing you notice, and one of the first things I heard about the film, was that Iñárritu was going hardcore on realism.
Yeah.
Shot only with natural light.
I think
about this.
That's unbelievable.
And you've...
When we heard that, it was kind of a thing where, you know, you just don't believe that's possible.
And then
it's like, they're not going to let him do that.
And, well, hey, you win that Oscar, and then you get some leeway.
Do you know where this took place?
The real thing?
Yeah.
The real thing.
Because there's a couple things, like, I know... 1823.
I'm sorry. That's the year 1823, and it took place in present day South Dakota.
Because 1832, that's when Joseph Smith was like tarred and feathered.
Mm-hmm.
1823.
I'm just gonna read one line out of context from Hugh Glass's. His Wikipedia page post the bear mauling. To prevent gangrene, Glass laid his wounded back on a rotting log and let maggots eat the dead flesh. To prevent gangrene.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
There is some historical context here. You can tell I'm in a historical podcast right now. The Arikara Warriors, the Arikara War, was going on right now near the Missouri River. And you said what state was this in?
Present-day South Dakota.
Well, yeah, the Missouri River runs through North Dakota and South Dakota?
I believe.
So this it makes a lot of sense of why... now, these were, in the movie, I see, I think, Pawnee Indians?
Yeah, they tossed out a couple of different
But
names.
In the credits, I noticed a lot of Arikara Native Americans were cast. And I wonder if they were cast because they were during that time, like they were showing them some love. I don't know. That's curious. That's really neat. But yeah, there's a couple things. The Monroe Doctrine happened then. You know, a couple different interesting things, but there was definitely a huge war going on with the first military conflict with the Indians in the plains.
And it's interesting to see, this is definitely a Western, structurally and tonally.
And it's interesting, it's not
the Old West.
But it's about 50 years too early.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, isn't it really cool to see a film that takes place between the Civil War and the Revolutionary War?
Yeah.
Very interesting time period. Mm-hmm. Like, I was intrigued by it. Like, seeing, like, oh, well, this is still a little not as modern as the Civil War, but it's still after the Revolutionary War.
Right. It's, well, anyway, to the natural...
Oh, the era of good feelings, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, everything was going great, clearly.
Forgot about that.
The natural light thing.
Oh, yeah.
You've made some movies.
Yeah.
Tell the people how precise lighting usually is on the, you know, if we were filming in this room right now, how many hours of work would gone into lighting us?
If we were filming this right now?
Yeah.
Oh, if we were filming us sitting here podcasting, and you wanted to get great light to show on video or television, it minimum three lights. You know, some good, I mean, our friend Dustin could probably set something up in about 20 to 30 minutes.
But for a Hollywood production?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, let's just say we film a scene in here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 45 minutes to an hour of lighting.
Before we shoot a second. And an incredibly detailed discipline. This is before you get to the electrical and all of that. Now, can you... conceive of the fact that this is a 2.5 hour movie, no lights, sun. Fires.
From what I can gather, is I think it's why it took so long to film.
Yes,
because
they only had a couple hours each day.
I really think you only have about 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah,
to shoot.
Right.
So it's no wonder why they ran out of snow in Canada, and they also, you know, ran 9 months.
Yeah, there's another thing. They went to Canada to start filming in the winter.
Alberta, Canada.
And got behind because of the natural light thing.
Yeah.
And had to pick up and move to Argentina. Because, you know, like The Simpsons taught us, it's winter when it's summer. When it's summer here, it's winter there. They had to go find more winter. They had to move to the other side of the globe to get more winter for this movie.
Yeah, it was curious. There was, I wonder how much digital snow was in there, because there's parts where they're like in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that doesn't look like that's America.
No.
Those are too big.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the Rockies.
That's one of the mountains called in Argentina.
The Andes.
The Andes. Very good.
Well, you know.
That was a nice Jeopardy pull. Well,
Name of the fort that was in that movie? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
It was kind of a rudimentary. It wasn't, you know, a big thing.
Yeah, it was like, it's like, copper daughters.
What we haven't told you is, this is really good. We should get to that at some point.
Let's say that right off the bat, 20 minutes into the podcast.
Right.
This is a really good film.
Yes. Now, you have to tell me. I want to see it again, and here's why. Just to be brutally honest with the people. I have a bad cold, and I'm very sleepy. So I'm going to ask you, was I just sleepy, or was the middle hour there maybe a little slow?
I think you were a little sleepy.
Okay.
Because
I believe you.
Because I think I turned and asked you because you always know how long a movie is.
It's on the thing I get. It's in the email.
Right. And I was like, wow, like how I feel. There was a point where I felt like it was only like 40 minutes in.
Uh huh.
And I looked at my clock and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
No, I was in it the whole time.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I know what you mean. There was a point where he's just, you know, where you know he's surviving. And, you know, obviously that's not a spoiler. You know that's part of the story.
Right.
But I thought it was really intriguing. And it was, there were so many things in this that made me, like I said, I'm infatuated with learning about history at this point in my life.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to see this and go, oh, he's dead. No,
mm-hmm.
He's not.
It happened.
And you know why it happened? Because this was 1823.
Right.
People were not you.
Yeah.
People had
thought about and prepared for the fact that they might get attacked by a bear.
And people knew these things also.
Mm-hmm.
People knew, like, for instance, like, let's just say you love Survivor Man.
Right.
Or Bear Grylls.
Right.
I would guess to say that tell me if I'm too high. I would guess to say 50% of adult men knew how to rough it in the woods, like like Bear Grylls.
Sure, forage for food and hunt.
Absolutely,
and you know
that's
basic shelter. And,
right.
Yeah.
Just like you and I know how to, you know, set a thermostat.
Right.
And you know. Change
use the, a GPS.
Use GPS or change the windshield washer, you know, fluid in our car.
Right.
These normal things. This was normal for them then.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's character Hugh Glass was very involved with the Pawnee Indians.
Uh huh.
So they knew even more
mm-hmm.
than the white man. I would guess.
Right. Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
To this day, I'm sure.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And it's... So you were... So the part where I was feeling my cold was really the crux of the survival part of the story.
Yeah, it was the endurance part of the story for sure.
Right,
And, you know, a couple things happen along the way, and it's just... It is... Because you're just like, how... Like, what else could happen to this guy?
Yeah, well,
and he just keeps going.
And I'm seizing on these scenes for the same reason, but the, for lack of a better phrase, action scenes here are unbelievable.
The action scenes are, what I like in action is that I do not like to call these action scenes because this is real and gritty.
I was thinking of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes,
particularly
absolutely.
In that first opening
sequence. It's just real life violence, and I'm going to say this 100 times, I think, because this movie is so relevant to history.
Uh-huh.
But history is violent.
Yeah,
history is very violent, and this was real violent history.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some things that people are uncomfortable with.
Oh, I'm sure.
We are talking about the white man who is venturing through the plains, fur trapping. We have the French doing the same thing.
Yeah.
French, the French and Indian War was not even, 20 years, 30 years before this. It was the 57. Sorry, it was way older.
Before the Revolution.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
But you're right. The French still had a lot of territory.
Right, because this is before the Louisiana Purchase.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, they were really vying for the plains. They were really vying for the plains along with the Pawnee Indians and the Comanche Indians who were a little bit farther west. So, like, it's a very violent time, and it's, man... I mean, there's these different groups just kill each other on sight.
And the way that... It's really interesting that this film was made, or at least went into pre-production, probably was in pre-production, right on top of Birdman. Because the direction is kind of similar. You know, picture the way the camera moved around the actors in Birdman, and it's moving around a brutal battle.
Right.
Which is a little funky. It's not it's not presented as one shot. There's a lot of very, very long shots. There's a lot of long shots, but the direction is kind of handled that same way. This just kind of floating around the action, and it's really interesting to watch, remembering Birdman so well.
Right. And did you know what state this took place in?
South Dakota.
Well, the Louisiana Purchase was 1803.
Okay.
So this was...
We fail eighth grade pop quiz.
Yeah, you mixed me up there. I'm usually pretty good at that, damn you.
So where...
But yeah, this was straight up, you know, at the
Louisiana
top.
Territory.
Oh, yeah, it was the top of the Louisiana Territory. The Missouri River ran, you know, almost parallel with the top of the Louisiana Purchase territory.
So when we met French people, they were
still hanging out.
They were
there.
In from Canada.
No, actually, Great Britain just took over the northern part of the Louisiana Purchase. After that, but anyway, there's still French people there.
Yeah,
I mean that was French land,
right?
Until the Louisiana Purchase.
And you have all of these these groups that at best...
Yeah, so 20 years later, they're still have French people come through there.
At best, there's, you know, kind of uneasy peace.
Right.
And at worst, it's, oh, I'm shooting you because you're in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
How about the bear attack scene?
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know how they did that,
because that was a CGI bear mostly.
I honestly, this is one of the first films I don't know,
because it looked like a practical thing, but how could it have been?
Well, I would say I think that you could train bears in a way. I know they have done it in the past. But, I mean, the extent of this scene, I don't know how... It was spectacular. I mean, if it was CGI, it was some of the best I've ever seen.
I mean,
would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, the most, like, visceral, stomach-churning animal attack scene I can remember.
Yeah.
This, you know, Jaws is one of my favorite movies. But Jaws is a robot eating people. This is like, oh my god,
it's real.
you really feel it.
And there is some, you know, there is some CGI in this, but man, it's Industrial Light and Magic. It's George Lucas' ILM, and they're good, man. I mean, you knew when there was CGI, but it wasn't like. That's CGI.
Right.
No, it wasn't. We see a herd of bison.
Yeah.
A herd of buffalo. And I had to, like, look closer, like, oh, I think they're CGI. Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, they probably don't have that many.
Nobody has that many.
No.
But, yeah, a group of wolves takes down a buffalo there.
Yeah.
And it's if
pretty
if,
convincing.
I might remember just the scenery and the look of this movie as much as I remember the story.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Because it's, you know...
It is beautiful.
Here's what I'll say.
With all the natural light, and we're talking about cinematography, it is beautiful.
All of the... You know, I don't get as much video game time as I like, but sometimes I really like... playing something that's set in another time.
Oh, me too.
Because you feel like you are walking around there and get a sense of it. I think that's actually a little bit harder to achieve in movies because we see other periods of time so often in movies.
Sure.
And it looks like a movie. This, you know, really feels like I was there.
Yeah.
I would compare it a little bit. This is interesting. I'd compare it a little bit to James Cameron. Because if you think about Avatar and Titanic, the world is so fully realized that you kind of are transported more than a lot of directors are able to do. And I think, you know, Iñárritu can do that now.
Yeah.
Maybe not a little bit earlier in his career, but now that he's on top of the world, you know.
Right.
It's I don't feel like I just watched a movie set in 1823. I feel like I know what 1823 is like.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the history of it. I love just digging into that.
Like, Aaron is just looking at maps right now.
I straight up am, dude. That's all I do. You know what I was doing? I was waiting for Sean to meet him here at AMC Lowe's, one of my favorite theaters in the country. Get AMC Stubs. It's a great rewards program. I was looking at a map. This is true. That's why I'm making fun of myself. Mm-hmm. When you were walking up to me, I was looking at a map of the Battle of Verdun.
Okay.
Do you know what that is, Sean?
Nope.
It's one of the... It was a tricky defeat by the Germans in World War I to draw the French and annihilate a bunch of their troops all in one fell swoop.
Uh-huh.
They bottlenecked them.
Hmm.
It's pretty fascinating. Anyway, speaking I'm a of dork. The
here. Fine. You want a history plug?
Yeah.
I'll give you a history plug for our Pittsburgh area listeners, and you have to go because this is around the damn corner from you.
Okay.
In Braddock.
Yeah.
There is a I think it's called the Brad. I wrote about it. I think it's called the Braddock Battlefield History Museum.
Oh, yeah.
There's a small museum over there because not Lafayette. That's a French guy.
General Braddock.
General Braddock, correct. General Braddock. Braddock's name because General Braddock was killed there.
Yes.
General Braddock was leading troops in the French and Indian War. And they were dramatically outnumbered and caught in a valley with Indians surrounding on all sides. Braddock was shot and killed, but some young punk named George Washington stepped up and like led the retreat and got as many people out of there as possible.
They
and
actually
on the strength of that performance, and that's what got him
they actually crossed the river
and
into Kennywood.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't open. They couldn't go to the potato patch.
Right.
But yeah, that's the, you know, that, I mean, if you go to the museum over there in Braddock, they'll explain to you that just down the river here, if that hadn't happened that day, George Washington probably would not have become George Washington.
Was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Led the Continental Army.
Yeah, and it's a cool little neighborhood place. It's a retired guy that just was really into
really
this
neat.
And spent years putting together
I like
all these
how this is bringing up all this history.
Yeah. I don't know if our movie fan listeners are...
This is a historic movie.
It is.
It's a cool thing.
It probably has more real history in it than Hateful
Eight. All right, well, let's regroup. Let's have a moment with our sponsor.
Let's have a moment with our sponsors.
And we'll come back.
We're sponsored by history. no, we're sponsored by, do you want to run through Goods and Evil?
Yeah. One of our sponsors, Goods and Evil. Mm-hmm. You can go to goodsandevil.com, follow them on Instagram, Facebook, goodsandevil.com. Our friend, makes, well, you know, he's our friend now because we love his products. He makes t-shirts, awesome t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
They have some handbags, but a lot of it is movie shirts, horror movies, a couple Big Lebowskis. My favorite, my Camp Crystal Lake Camp Counselor shirt.
That's right.
And also, they have a line of t-shirts and apparel for vegans, which if you're into that, apparently that's pretty rad. They're into that. Goodsandevil.com was it honestly my favorite horror shirts I've ever gotten.
I just wore my Heinz Brains shirt.
Oh, your Heinz 57 label that's actually about zombies?
Actually about zombies. Just wore that on stage in the Long Branch Saloon in New Brighton, Pennsylvania last weekend.
Yeah.
Wear my Goods and Evil stuff all the time. Make sure you check them out.
Yeah.
Follow them on Twitter and Facebook and all of that.
Yeah.
Goods and Evil. Google it. You'll find all of their stuff.
Super.
And we are sponsored, of course, by Puzzle Packs.
Yes. Hey,
it's the winter. You know what you do in the winter? You have a few drinks. You're not going outside. You're going to curl up by the fire with your favorite beer. But don't, you know what's, you know what you don't want to happen is you drop that flimsy cardboard six-pack carrier you got at the bottle shop, and you drop that in the fire, and now that thing happens where part of it burns off, and then that part's floating away, and you got a flaming Coors Light chunk nugget just drifting through your living room. You don't want that. Get a puzzle pack.
Were you embarrassed over the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Going to holiday parties, you got a mix and match six pack of some cool craft beers, and you carried it over in a damp Coors Light six pack holder.
Or you got it to the car in the damp Coors Light six pack holder, and then the bottom fell
through.
That
happens.
And so you had to carry your beers into Nana's in an Aldi bag you found in the trunk. You're never doing any of this again. Once you go to puzzlepacks.com, that's PUZZLEPAX.com, enter the offer code HANDLE, the middle word in You Can't Handle the Truth, for $5 off any order from coasters to refrigerator magnets to the signature product, the wooden customized six-pack carrier with your logo
emblazoned
on the side. And there's a bottle opener in it.
Yeah.
It's got its own bottle opener.
You can get your logo emblazoned on the coasters as well.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bottle opener on every coaster. That's pretty rad.
You can never have enough.
Hey, you know,
I got one in my pocket, and half the time I'm like, where am I going to find a bottle opener?
And I don't know if anybody's fans of the Kill Tony podcast or the Death Squad, or Death Squad comedians. Brian Randaband, Tony Hinchcliffe. Puzzle Packs actually made... they sponsored the episodes of Kill Tony in Pittsburgh and Columbus, and they gave Death Squad Kill Tony puzzle packs out to the audience members, and they were pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you check them out. Go ahead.
And I know a lot of people were talking about getting them for Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hey, still good for gifts.
Yeah, you forgot a few people. You know you did.
Yep.
Get those belated Christmas gifts at puzzlepacks.com. Veteran-owned, locally made, sustainable business, PUZZLEPAX.com. Offer code HANDLE for $5 off your order. Puzzle Packs. Drink some beer. Have a good time. Don't set a six-pack carrier on fire. That bit is dead.
You're such a good ad,
man. We'll be right back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Yo, SWAT, stand up. Suave, stand up. It's your boy, Ian Insect, the unstable fable, the pseudo-sociopath, the drum major of chaos.
Unparalleled.
I got this show, Ian Insect is Evil, airing on the Epicast Network. You can catch it anytime you wanna at epicastnetwork.com.
Unprecedented.
Yo, get official, get superficial. We talk about all kinds of things on my show. Art, history, death, disappointment, the nature of reality and its relation to the core concepts of human interaction, and of course,
these nuts. Unpredictable. Not in the good way.
Hey, who knows what to expect, but you gotta respect that everybody's suspect from the perspective of Inspector Insect. I'm here to remind everyone of the demons we all aid, abet, resent, and harbor, and I'm here to remind you that you're all loved anyway. Not really. Anyway.
He's insincere. He's insecure. He's insensitive. He knows a lot of words, but above all else, Ian Insect is evil.
And we're back.
Listen to podcasts, guys.
Yeah. I see, that's what I've gotta just say I'm done with all of my podcasts and get new ones.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to music lately. Who wants that?
Yeah, I hate when I waste 3 hours in the car and I just listen to like Pandora. I was like, wait a second, I could have like learned something.
I'm going on. Well, I'm really pumped now because Tamara inspired this because she just has like playlists of like every song she likes ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to do that. And I've got a 500 song Spotify playlist.
Tamara is your girlfriend.
Tamara is my girlfriend. She's an improviser. She's very, very talented. I don't know where she'll be performing soon. If I did, I would plug it because she and I, she made me feel really bad because she and I just appeared on Garrett Teitelbaum's podcast.
Yeah.
Art of the Covenant. Thank you. We just did that, and apparently she plugged my stand up in her episode.
Wow!
And then she was like, "Did you mention me?" And I was like, "I'm sorry."
Sheesh.
Sorry. So she's great. She's got a bunch of improv troupes.
Yeah.
We're recording a month in advance, so I don't know where they'll be next week. But but I'm going to get back to it.
I get it.
The point is, I've got this Spotify playlist. I just cruise around impressed at my own taste in music, and that's fun. But you're right. I'm not learning anything.
Learned that Leonardo DiCaprio is one of my favorite actors of all time. See what I did there?
Yeah, how about that?
You know, I've talked about this multiple times, is that when Leo gets gray hair and hits his 50s, he's going to win 4 Oscars in a row. Well, in this movie, he had a little gray hair.
Had a little bit.
I don't care if it was fake, but I think now is the time. It's Leo's year.
As you're hearing this, Oscar nominations are not out yet.
Until the 20th?
The Golden Globes are coming up. That's what I should plug. Here's a plug.
Yeah.
Remember, I am a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. So I vote for the Critics' Choice Awards, which are coming up soon.
I vote for pizza toppings at my house.
And for the first time, you know, for several years now, there have been the Critics' Choice Movie Awards and the Critics' Choice Television Awards over the summer. And this year in 2016, for the first time, they said, you know what, we're doing it. We're doing it all in one.
Yeah.
Like the Golden Globes.
Right.
So the Critics' Choice Awards, movie and TV, will be taking place January 17th of this year. And you can follow me on Twitter at Sean Collier PGH for all kinds of extra info about that. But the important thing is, I vote for the movie awards. These are the movie awards that I vote for. And it's not like, you know, obviously I'm not in the Academy, and the Academy is a very impressive organization, but a couple thousand people in the Academy, right? And you're in SAG, of course.
Yeah.
So you vote for the SAG awards.
Correct.
But that's like tens of thousands of people. Broadcast Film Critics, there's only about 275 of us. So what I'm saying is my vote matters. My vote matters and lands. I am still convinced that Jenny Slate won Best Actress in a Comedy for Obvious Child because of me. Because it was a tight race and I voted for her, so I'm taking the credit for that one. Anyway, the Critics' Choice Awards are coming up. Why did I start talking about this? DiCaprio?
Yes.
Awards?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was saying. So Critics' Choice Awards are a little more than a week off. Golden Globes are coming up. Oscar nominations right after that. I think, I don't know, I haven't seen every performance yet. He's got to be the favorite.
Well,
he has to be. Finally, this is the year where it's like he should probably win.
He was eating dirt and crawling around in the woods. I mean,
what a physical performance.
Amazing physical performance. Hey, look, I mean, there has been a lot of actors who crawled around on the floor, like, you know, Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
A little bit, right? Or Lieutenant Dan.
Well, there was that push 2 years ago.
Then there was Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot.
There was that big push 2 years ago to get Robert Redford nominated for that thing where he was on a boat that sank. I think that you'll have a couple people saying, well, what? DiCaprio barely had any dialogue in this movie.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does not.
This is such a complete, like, giving himself over to the elements.
I think I said to you as an actor, I don't know how you get through this every day and do this for 9 months.
I have no idea.
I mean, granted, you're only filming, you know, you're only filming. Listen to me. Sure, you're only filming for 3-4 hours a day probably, but the makeup, the dirt, I mean, the grueling physical things that were going on. The emotion that was going on throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
And it's tough to... I get that it's tough to compare. You know, apparently the next in line, if you look at the odds sheets now as we're recording this, DiCaprio is the favorite. and Michael Fassbender for Boo. Steve Jobs is Boo. Second. Boo. By the way, Boo. IMDb tells me DiCaprio passed on the Steve Jobs
he
role
for this.
To do this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get that it's very tough to compare 2 hours of nonstop talking and conversation
right. sure.
with what's going on here.
Yeah.
I just think that what we saw up there from DiCaprio tonight is something that nobody else could do.
It was a special thing.
Yeah.
It definitely was. And there, and you know, we can't say a lot about the supporting cast, but you know, there wasn't a lot of it, but there was a lot of characters that came and went.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of really amazing Native American actors portraying some of the Pawnee. Just fantastic. Just, man, great. Just, I don't know how to, what am I trying to say? Just really set the tone and the, just, wow, right? Like it,
definitely.
Like,
definitely.
Just there's the realism. That's the word I'm looking for. The realism of just the emotion of the time and the peoples involved. And then, you know, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy was great. There were some, you know, there were a couple of smaller roles by a couple of up and coming.
Oh yeah,
Ex actors. Domhnall Gleeson, who was in Ex Machina, who was in Brooklyn.
Fantastic in this.
So he had a big year. He was in Unbroken. He was a smaller part in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
He was in Calvary. He was in About Time. He was in a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
He's
great.
A great up-and-coming actor. Also, Will Poulter, who is most recognizable as the doofy kid in We're the Millers.
yeah, I know.
But he's the one you told me who is...
He is playing Pennywise in the new It movie.
He is going to be Pennywise.
And it's
funny. And after
funny,
this one, I can see it.
And I saw it too, and I'm watching him, and I'm just picturing his face in clown makeup.
Yeah.
And he's got these, like, puffy cheeks.
Uh-huh.
And these, like, little weird eyes. And I was like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the guys who made True Detective, so.
Doing... It?
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
What's his face? Oh, my gosh. It just left me. The writer...
Pitt.
Yes.
That guy. Pitt's... No.
Pizzioli. Pizzioli. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's writing and
directing... Let's leave it right there.
...the It movie with him as star. And that's exciting.
And Tom Hardy, speaking of big years...
He's been killing it.
Legend and Mad Max. I know that Mad Max was much more Charlize Theron. But, you know, he absolutely nailed it, no doubt.
He is a really... I've met and worked with him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just crazy to see how much better he's gotten.
And this is so method.
Yo, yeah.
He really disappears into it.
He's a fur trapper from, like, Kentucky.
Nick Pizzolatto is
Pizzolatto,
the
yeah.
creator of True Detective. He's the villain. You know, he's getting some buzz for maybe a best supporting actor.
I think so. I could see him getting nominated for sure.
But what you know? We say it's a Western. He almost grounds this very unusual movie in the Western genre because he is
great
a classic.
Insight.
Western villain.
Absolutely.
In really extreme circumstances.
You're absolutely right.
And I'm not going to give away what I'm talking about here, but the last couple of minutes of this movie, damn. Right?
Yep.
Performances?
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is going to do well. But, you know, at this time right now, we have not seen Hateful Eight. We haven't seen Joy.
Haven't seen Concussion.
Correct. I mean, and for what's anticipated for this year, I mean, it's actually been a really good year.
Yeah, I mean, it's I right now as I'm telling you this, I have fewer tens than I've had some years.
Well, but we haven't seen.
Yeah,
we haven't seen four. At least I could name four.
Yeah.
Movies that are most likely going to be 7 to 10s.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But Yeah, this is one to you know, we knew 2015 was going to be big. We did an episode talking about how big 2015 was going to be.
We did a preview.
I think like a year in advance.
Yeah.
Because you looked at the schedule and saw, Avengers and Jurassic Park and James Bond and Star Wars and Mad Max. Like, yeah that's going to be...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, nothing really... There have been very few disappointments other than stuff that I expected to disappoint me.
Yeah.
I kind of thought the Terminator wasn't going to be that good. Right?
But it was okay.
No, I thought it was okay. I don't think it was.
I had fun.
You like Terminator a lot more than I do.
I like Terminator a lot. There were really, really bad parts.
I thought it was pretty boring.
But it wasn't as I thought it was.
But if you look at, you know, there are some things that I wasn't like nuts about. But when I look back at like Furious 7, I think, oh yeah, I had a really good time in there.
Sure.
It's you know, there's a lot of good stuff. I'm probably not going to mention any other time, but the Danish girl is very good.
Right.
I really hated Eddie Redmayne because I thought he was terrible in Theory of Everything and Furious.
Is he bad in this too?
Furious that he took the Oscar away from Michael Keaton.
Terrible.
And in this one, it's like, oh, this is what he should be doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a very good role for him. Much better than that. And a really good... You know what that's about? That's in, like, the... I want to say the 20s.
Love it.
A true story. He's one of the first people to attempt to get sex change surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
He's a...
In the 20s?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
He's a Danish artist who...
Okay.
Starts...
Totally get it.
Starts cross-dressing... And like goes to doctors who try to commit him for being insane, and they flee to France. His wife is played by Alicia Vikander from Ex Machina and Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Is this a true story?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
And they flee to France where a doctor says, you know, I'm basically inventing this, but I think I can do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really fascinating.
That's really good. I don't know if I've really talked about Room yet. Room is one of my... absolute mm-hmm. favorites of the year.
We'll see.
Brie Larson, I'm really pulling for Best Actress. And
wow.
We're not done yet, but Spotlight is way, way up there on my list.
Yeah.
Tremendous a lot of good stuff, cast.
A lot of good stuff to see in December.
Yeah.
Or it's January.
Or 8th. January.
A lot of good films came out.
This is when you're going to be catching up to your Oscar movies.
Absolutely.
You're going to see the nominations
it's
are going to come in.
January, you know, there's not much coming out. In January,
right, except for these that are these Oscar
I know
that
the Forest. It comes out today. Which
yeah,
is
I think
about
the fact that that's coming out today. That's not it. Got an awards run and now it's expanding. That's
no. I mean,
it's getting buried.
You know, I'm fascinated to see something about the Japanese suicide forest
because our friend Margie Kerr has
been there.
Of course she has.
Yeah,
of course.
So
she has.
There's a lot of stuff to catch up on in January. I know I definitely will be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Last thing I want to say, too, is I loved the score. I always bring up the music and how much it enhances a great film. And there was some odd things in it. There was a little jazz-type drums again.
Well, you know what?
Like
there was
Did
a little Birdman in there. The
and
composer...
There was also, go ahead.
The composer, there's two... There's three listed... Ryuichi Sakamoto, Alvin Noda, and Bryce Dessner. And I forget where I saw this. I'm trying to pull it up again now. Sakamoto is a almost exclusively works in Japan. He's a major, major Japanese film composer and musician.
The John Williams of Japan?
More or less coming back to America for the first time in a long time for The Revenant.
Really?
The last thing he did in America was Snake Eyes in 1998.
Wow. Oh, you know what I see?
I think he won the Oscar for The Last Emperor in 1987.
Wow.
And he has not scored an American film in 17 years.
You know, now that you mention that, there was a little bit, you could tell a little bit.
Yeah. But then the drums from Birdman you'll catch them a couple of times.
Yeah, you absolutely will. And you know, there's some other things. There's some tone. There's some tone in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's some
Well, the way that the sounds of nature and, like, your body...
Yeah, there was other things going on. You know, I wish I could remember what I thought of it, what it was like. But there was, like, there was some tone in there, like a horror movie.
Sure.
Because there was a lot of suspense in this.
It almost has some of those Evil Dead survival horror moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good call. Little Evil Dead, little Insidious.
Uh-huh.
Very It Follows.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, being a lover of horror films, uh-huh. you and I think it really sets the tone in a way where you're like, there is danger everywhere from every different angle in this film.
I mean...
People. I mean, like, the white man, the French, uh-huh. the Native Americans,
uh-huh.
bears.
Yeah.
Like... There is danger ever. Cliffs, rivers, snow. I mean, it is kind of like, it does have a little bit of a horror film
not
type
to,
of feel.
Not to go back to the bears, but I think I had read that there was a bear attack. When I was sitting in there, I didn't remember that. Like, oh, he's about to get bared.
I had no idea.
And when he walks off... And then looks and he sees two cubs running ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
And he just goes, oh, shit.
Yep. He knows.
And the 3 seconds between when he sees
uh-huh.
the mama bear and when mama bear is on top of him might be my favorite 3 seconds of movie this year.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Riveting.
That's a good movie. What would you give it?
Oh, I'm giving it a 10. I'm there. Sorry.
I might have to reserve my number until I can watch it when I'm not sleepy.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting here and thinking 9.
Yeah.
You
know what else it kind of reminded me of?
Huh.
Cold Mountain.
Interstellar? No.
Cold Mountain.
Cold Mountain's good.
I really like Cold Mountain a mm-hmm. lot. It kind of reminds me of Cold Mountain and also, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite movies.
Is it because it was on a mountain in winter?
The Legend of the Fall.
Okay.
Legends of the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of that, a little bit of Cold Mountain, a lot more violence.
A little bit
violence.
Of Evil Dead, a little bit of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a movie.
Really great film.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Want to play Has Sean Seen It? I already owe you one dinner.
I don't remember. I didn't remember. I didn't plan. Okay. I just...
Who
I
has
just,
Aaron seen
I just,
it?
Could, I just saw
could,
a little...
We could flip that script
have
for
fun
a minute.
With that, bro. I have over 7,000 ratings on Netflix. So when I worked in an office, I rated a lot of films.
Have you seen... Well, no, I'm doing it.
Okay. I got a couple for you, but go ahead.
Have you seen... Rope. Hitchcock's Rope.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a good one.
I was like, as soon as you said Hitchcock, I was like, are you coming up with some indie movie? And then I was like, oh yeah, the Hitchcock movie.
Okay. I'm going to try to, I'll do some.
You're getting deep on me.
Because, again, I haven't seen that many old stuff, but I'm trying to go to like my film schoolish, the little bit of stuff that I have
geez.
Done.
No, I mean, I've seen a lot of movies.
Have you seen The Rules of the Game? Renoir from the 30s.
No.
All right. That's a good one. That's okay. A big one.
Now, if I asked you this, you'd throw a fit, but go ahead.
What?
The Renoir, the 30s.
It's a very important movie.
I know the I know it.
Yeah. Have you seen Gentlemen Prefer Blondes?
Yes.
Okay. Whew. 2 out of 3.
All right. I'm going to hit you.
I was going to go.
Now, listen to what I asked.
I was going to say Some Like It Hot. You've definitely
yes,
seen
I've
Some
seen
Like It,
it
Hot. Okay.
I'm going to ask Sean. Mm-hmm. Look at the difference between the two.
Because I tried. Because you try. You asked me if I've seen Chud and shit. Like, why would I have seen Chud? I haven't seen Chud.
You're
no.
a horror movie fan.
I know, but
I'm throwing
it's
you
Chud.
Softballs
okay.
called Chud.
Okay. Last week it wasn't Throw Mama from the Train. It was what was it? Was it Throw Mama from the Train?
I think it was.
Yeah, like
I'm gonna go with that same theme.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Have you seen Twins?
Which one's
Danny
that?
Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm going Danny DeVito movies.
No, I've seen the other one. Is it
Junior?
I've seen Junior, but not
Twins. You have not seen Twins?
No.
Guys, if you're a fan of this podcast, I want to apologize wholeheartedly that Sean has not seen Twins.
And Junior wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't. Twins was way better.
Yeah.
There's a great story about that. It's one of the highest grossing movies by actors taking back end money.
Really?
Arnold and Danny DeVito got 40%.
Really?
Dude, it's a great story. Anyway.
Wow.
Okay. Look that up sometime. Yeah, they got insane. No, actually, I think they each got 30%, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's in Arnold's book, and you can look it up.
They probably,
it's pretty fascinating.
They had a pretty good dinner when that check rolled in.
Oh, yeah, they did very well. Mm. Okay, have
Danny
you seen...
DeVito. I might go 0-3.
Oh, wait, I just lost my... Have you seen... this is a fun movie. Have you seen War of the Roses?
Not all of it.
Really funny. He's like a divorce attorney. He's hilarious. Uh-huh. And then Danny DeVito. Third Danny DeVito movie. I can't think of one. I'm the worst. I lose Doug Loves Movies.
You can't think of a third Danny DeVito movie? Have you seen Matilda?
Shut up,
Have
Sean.
You seen...
I'm not talking about Matilda.
Big Fish? Big yes, Fish is a Big good Fish. One.
All right, I'm going to think of another movie. Not Danny DeVito.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen The Dream Team?
What's The Dream Team? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dude,
now.
Christopher Lloyd.
Okay.
It's like these
This is
people
not
from,
landing.
It's people from a mental hospital, and they all get lost, and they, like, escape. Like, they go to a ball game, and then, like, it's crazy. It's hilarious. You're 0-3, dude. And I threw you Twins.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I mean, I can't... Come on, dude.
Well, all I'm saying is...
War of the Roses. I mean, Michael Douglas.
No, that's something I definitely should have seen. All I'm saying is, you've gone over your history in the past. You did your research at the video store when you went and got five videos
Absolutely.
Every week. And
I did.
Pretty much everything you ever asked me about was a blockbuster big hit in the mid to late 90s.
I'm sorry, you owe me two dinners.
I owe you two dinners. All right.
You can keep stumping me with your Renoirs.
That's the only movie from the 30s I can name, so...
I just turned my mic off accidentally. Well, bingo.
Oh, yeah, that was a good out, but now we're still talking.
Oh, shush.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com. Epicast.